the women of the Congo, particularly the women who have been raped and subject to sexual violence. There is a tendency, particularly from the United Nations, to deal only with the men with guns and think that if they can stop the shooting, they've ended the war. But there's another component to the war, and it's called rape. And the raping has never ended from 1996 to this day. And you're never going to end the war in the Congo until you prevent the violence to the women. And therefore, you've got to involve the women in the peace negotiations. And incredibly enough, they have never been involved. If you want to bring things to an end in the Congo, you've got first to deal with the women. So when the Secretary General appoints the former president of Nigeria, Obasanjo runs around and he speaks to the rebel head in Kunda, and he runs off to speak to the president of the Congo, Kabila, and he'll speak to Kagame of Rwanda. It's all wrong. The place you start is with the women, because they have been the most ferocious subjects of the war.
You're the former UN Special Envoy for HIV/AIDS in Africa. Just from that standpoint, what are the large numbers of rapes doing to that country?
We all know that the act of raping, particularly the violence of the sexual assaults, create tears in the reproductive tracts of the women through which the AIDS virus can be transmitted. So inevitably, you have this dual horror. On the one hand, you're subject to a rape, frequently a gang rape, and on the other hand, you end up HIV positive at the local hospital, and your life is ruined in both aspects. It reminds me of Rwanda, it reminds me of Darfur. The international community just stands and watches this happen. We have 17,000 United Nations peacekeepers in the Congo whose mandate it is to protect the women, and they cannot protect the women. And therefore, we need a tripling of that force in order to do the job. And the idea that so many of them will end up HIV positive and have to face AIDS on top of the rape, it's a hallucinatory situation.
Now, of course, this war has been going on a long time. I think the last estimate was that at least 5.5 million people have been killed in the eastern DRC. Why is it that there hasn't been greater response, in a sense, to ending this war long before now?
That is, of course, the crucial question, although one could also ask, why is it that Darfur, an alleged and, I think, admitted genocide, has still not been confronted by the international community? And the same question must therefore be asked about the Congo. Is it subterranean racism? People just don't give a tinker's damn about what happens to Africans? Is it because of the resources in the Congo, that the resources are so overwhelming, the mineral wealth is such that governments are prepared to allow the resources to be plundered because of the financial benefit, and to hell with the people of the Congo, particularly the women of the Congo? Is it misogyny, that the world just doesn't care about women and gender inequality is the prevailing principle? I mean, any of those explanations, I think, has a significant kernel of truth. But I think it's important to note that 3 years ago, the entire world agreed on a new international principle. The principle was called the responsibility to protect. The leaders said to each other, if a government is unable or unwilling to protect its people from grotesque violations of human rights, then the international community has the right to intervene. We can do it politically, diplomatically, economically, or we can send in troops. And frankly, what the Congo needs at this point is troops.